Well, let's get started. This is now 23 in the series that we've all come to call Jay Witte. And at this point, what happens is, and I had not considered this when we started this series, but new people come along all the time. Like we were talking about, you know, you share with a friend or family member, they share with another friend or family member. So we're getting emails now from people who are just watching the very first video. And I know what's happening. They're looking at the date that the video was put out. And the email I get now says, hey, you know, I know the offer's probably over, but if you have one sitting around on a shelf somewhere, I'd like to have one. And I can report now that as of today, what is the date today? September what? September 29th, 2019, the offer is still open. If anybody watching this online wants a free copy of this booklet, a physical copy, email me at info@ohiogracebible.com, info@ohiogracebible.com. You will get a free copy. Yeah, or you can come here on a Sunday morning and pick one up. Kind of difficult for the folks in Japan, but it's a lot easier to mail. I was thinking at this point, there's really only three reasons I think that we would end the giveaway. Number one good reason is people stop asking. You can't give it away to people who don't ask for it. The second reason would be we run out of money. We got to pay the bills here first before we buy books to give away. That hasn't happened yet. And the only other reason would be if I wasn't able to buy them from the publisher anymore. None of those three things have happened, so we are still giving them away. I actually got a notice that our next shipment will be on the way tomorrow morning. So we'll have another big pile to give away that should show up here in a couple of days. Got a couple more emails this week. Please send me a free copy. Thanks. I have to email back, but I need a physical mailing address. 123 XYZ Street, any town, USA, or wherever you're at in the world. I need a physical address. All right. So as we pick up here with number 23 last week, I said we reached a Joel Osteen level of positivity with the message that Jesus wasn't talking to you. And I illustrated that by putting the man's face up on the board. Well, one of the people who watch online was positively negative about that. Get that false teacher's face off of your video. They didn't like it, but it was a joke. But the last time, you remember we talked about some when you give people a booklet like this or you teach somebody the message, a little bit of the grace message, and we heard some of our stories here, that most people have a knee-jerk reaction, negative reaction to the message Jesus wasn't talking to them. So be ready for that. And we also looked how, you know, we try to take people from the red letters and say, you need to see what Christ dispensed to Paul. You need to see this message. You need to understand this body of doctrine. And what we did was we went back in the Bible and we saw that this is not a new thing for God to do. God chose one guy to dispense all that information for thousands of years and millions of people through Moses. So it's not a new thing that he would choose Paul and do the same thing later on in your Bible as the revelation from God progresses. But as we do something this week, I want to ask you fine church people to do something that it's generally hard for fine church people to do. He just shifted and sat on his wallet extra hard. He thinks I'm going to... I want you to consider something that I was never taught to consider, really, in church. I want you to consider the fact that you are not the center of the universe. You are not the only thing that God thinks about all day.
Really?
Amen would be better, but yes. God was not sitting at the foot of your bed while you slept, wishing for you to wake up so you could start telling him what to do again. This is the kind of Christianity we're taught in America. Very selfish, very myopic. We're trained to tell God what to do all day. And God was around before us. Newsflash. He's more powerful. He's the creator. He's the one whose will we need to change and get on board with what he's doing. Consider, this is the hard thing for the church people to consider. Consider that not everything in the Bible is written to or about you. Why read it then? Why bother? Jesus wasn't talking to you. It changes our orientation. When we can accept that one Bible fact, we can accept the fact that we need to figure out what God is doing and change ourselves and our beliefs accordingly. So we pick up this week in the middle of page 23. Middle of page 23. Quote the booklet. When the Lord Jesus was talking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he told them to search the scriptures because they spoke of him. John 5:39. Christ was Israel's prophesied Messiah, and so when Jesus was doubted, he sent his doubters to the scriptures. Pretty clear, pretty simple. We know that fact now. None of Paul's 13 books were written when Christ was challenged by unbelieving Jews. And that time, Paul was...
I think I just found a typo.
I think it should say, when Christ was challenged, or at that time, yeah. Anyway, Paul was still Saul, and Saul was also an unbeliever. After Christ dealt with Saul in Acts 9, Paul emerged with information that was so new and different that it could not be found by searching the scriptures. That is why Paul says that what he wrote included unsearchable riches of Christ, Ephesians 3:8, which had been kept hidden, 1 Corinthians 2:7. That last paragraph. We've got a lot of years of churching in this room. All of us have quite a bit of church experience. Had you ever, in a time when you were in church, been taught that? What Christ gave to Paul cannot be found by searching the scriptures. That's why Paul called it the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'd never, ever heard that taught growing up. Been in the Bible my whole life, never heard it taught once. Interesting. So what I want to do here, let's read the verses first. It quotes John 5:39. Let's read John 5:39. John 5 gives you a very clear understanding of why the Jews wanted to kill Jesus so badly. He said a lot of things that made them want him dead and to murder him. But Jesus is giving an answer here, and when I was a kid, we used to have a phrase for what Jesus does in this chapter. We called it the smackdown. Somebody gets up in your face or starts talking to you, you give them the smackdown. Well, Jesus is the Christ, and he is giving what we would call, when I was a kid, the smackdown to the Jews that were questioning him. Look at verse 16 there in John chapter 5. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Because he'd done these things on the Sabbath day. What had he done? Supernatural miracles. That's not allowed on Saturday, apparently. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. It is blasphemy, unless it's absolutely true, isn't it? Then answered Jesus and said unto them. Now he's going to get going. Verse, where were we? Oops.
Yeah, skip on down to 38. Look at 38. He's really got going here. And ye have, now he's talking to most likely the Pharisees, the religious leaders. These are the people who sit in Moses' seat, teach and administer the law. Listen to what he says to them. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Can you imagine walking into the most erudite institution? Telling, search your books that you claim to know and teach, they're talking about me. Again, if it's not absolutely true, he's crazy, but he's not. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 42. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. In the context, speaking to Israel, who do you think he's talking about? Another that comes in his own name? Could be the Antichrist? You don't have the love of the Father in you? You're rejecting the Son? Another one's going to come. You'll receive him. He keeps going. Look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father, for there is one that accuseth you. Look what he says next. Even Moses, whom ye trust. These guys are trying to say, we sit in Moses' seat, we're telling you you're wrong. Jesus says, hey, you know that guy Moses? He's the one accusing you. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Quite a thing to say to the guy sitting in Moses' seat, isn't it? Why did they want to kill Jesus so much? This is why. Quite a thing to say to the teachers of the law. But the quote says, Christ, so we've read the verses there in the context, Christ was Israel's prophesied Messiah, so when Jesus was doubted, he sent his doubters to the scriptures. So as we progress along through the Bible, you see the progression building. Here we are. There's the cross. We're here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Christ is on the scene, and he's ministering, and he tells the doubters, if you have questions, if you have doubts, don't start making fun. He says, if you have questions about me, if you have doubts, look back at the scriptures. In the scriptures, we have the law, we have Psalms, we have all the prophets. And he's telling a person, look back, look back. It's all there. If you believe, Moses talked about me. Go back and look at Moses. Everything is look back, look back, look back. So let's put ourselves in this situation. We're standing there on the scene. What you know of as the whole Bible doesn't exist yet, does it? Hasn't been written. But we have the man on the scene, and we have all these scriptures that were revealed, and he's saying, look back to confirm, look back to confirm. So you're now... This is how we're realizing we're not the center of the universe. All of human history does not revolve around us. Let's put ourselves in that situation. Here you are, a lost sheep of the house of Israel. You've had these covenants. God institutes Israel. And there's now a dividing line between Israel and the Gentile nations. Forget the Gentiles right now. They're far off, aren't they?
They're strangers from the Commonwealth of Israel and the Covenants of Promise. They're down here. They need to come through Israel if they want to get to God. So here you are, a lost sheep of the house of Israel. You have the circumcision. You have the covenants. You have the law. You're under all that. And here this guy shows up and says, I'm the Messiah. What do? You check it out with your scriptures. You look back. So, why don't you go back to the beginning? If you're Israel, you can ask some questions. Okay, sir, you're the Messiah. Where were you born? Do you know the birthplace of the Messiah was prophesied? It's in the scriptures. In Micah 5:2, it says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. There's two Bethlehems. Which Bethlehem were you born in, sir? Bethlehem Ephratah. Okay, that's the right one. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto thee that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. So he says, search the scriptures. You can do that. Where were you born? Bethlehem Ephratah. Check. Was your mother a virgin when you were born, sir? But if somebody claims to be the Messiah, you could ask that question. You have that scripture. Isaiah 7:14 says that. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Which means? Yeah. Why, yes, it has been. Or she was. Check. Israel could look at their calendar. Remember Daniel's prophecy? How many years has it been since Daniel's prophecy of 490 years? Oh, just a pinch under 483. Check. Can you perform supernatural acts of healing, sir? Because Isaiah 35:5 says the Messiah will be able to, oh, you just healed the whole town. Oh. Check. And it can go on and on and on of all these prophecies and all these scriptures that point to Christ. Okay? Got questions? Jesus says, go check it out. It's all there. It's all right there. You can investigate. You can look back. You can verify in your synagogue everything I've said, everything I'm doing. It all points to me. You wonder why there are some people out from the east that knew what time to go look for the Messiah? Maybe they searched the scriptures. Well, that would mean that that information was available to pretty much anybody then, right? But it's all, he's saying, it's all in the scripture. It's all been foretold. Let's put that up here. Foretold. Prophesied. You can know it because it's been known. Pretty clear. It's almost like Romans 15:8. And I say that Jesus Christ was a minister to confirm the promises made unto the Father, minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's what he was doing. Remember all the fathers, remember all the scriptures, remember all the stuff that's been prophesied for. I'm here to do that for Israel. But Romans 15:8 hadn't been inspired and written when Christ was on the scene, was it? I didn't come till later. Well, is there any verse that anywhere else where you could find that says Jesus wasn't talking to us, he was talking to Israel? Maybe the words right out of his own mouth. Who told you that? The Lord Jesus Christ told me that. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, there's that. This is one of those times where the Bible keeps disagreeing with what you know to be right. It's frustrating. But the booklet goes on to say, none of Paul's 13 books were written when Christ was challenged by unbelieving Jews. And at that time, Paul was still Saul, and Saul was also an unbeliever. There's a good chance Paul saw or knew about Jesus while Jesus was on the scene ministering to Israel. Now, he's a student of Gamaliel, Pharisee of the Pharisees. Chances are he might have been in the crowd yelling, "Crucify him." But there's no scripture, correct me if I'm wrong, when Christ is challenged in his earthly ministry, there's no scripture that I know of where Jesus says, "You just wait. In a few years, I'm gonna save my biggest enemy and I'm going to inspire him to write a bunch of stuff that's really going to lay the smack down on you." I don't know of a verse where Christ says that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Anybody? No, you don't know? Okay. That didn't happen. Paul's writings didn't exist when Jesus was in his earthly ministry to Israel. What does that tell you about Paul's writings compared with God's overall plan for heavenly places and earthly places? What does that tell you? If Paul's writings didn't exist when Jesus is ministering to Israel, what does that tell you? That's correct. It's a mystery. It's not known. What that tells me is you don't need a word that Paul wrote to get Israel to this point. Israel can have their law, their Psalms, their prophets. They can have all the prophetic program getting right up to the Messiah, kingdom gospel being preached, Messiah being received, and you don't need a word Paul wrote to help with that.
There's only one message in the whole Bible.
Really? You don't need Paul to preach anything that was prophesied to and about Israel, their Messiah, and the kingdom gospel at this point in human history and in God's revelation. That would make, as we progress along in our timeline, now we're getting to Pentecost. Put Stephen on the board. Sorry, Stephen. But right here, as we're moving along, you know, Peter and the boys, they were the ones that received their Messiah. He said, "Follow me." They said, "Poop, drop your tool bag and go." Right? They had learned. They'd had the scriptures open to them. They'd received their Messiah. They stayed with him. Well, not kind of stayed with him, but except for a bad night. But that would make them, if you want to find the expert on God's plan for his prophetic people and everything that was going on and what's happening now, God, who would be the big dogs of knowledge at this point? Peter and the 12. We worked with them, we ate with them, we preached with them, we did miracles with them, we fished with them. They know the information. They're the big dogs. You want to know about Jesus? You don't want to know about Jesus of the scriptures and look back like he said? We can show you where to open the scroll and find it. We know where to look. We got the 411. We got the info. Everybody's got that frontal lobe? Okay. So let's do a throwback to see who was paying attention last week. Galatians 2:7. Starting verse 6. Galatians 2:6. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat, who's he talking about? Peter and the boys. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, on the contrary, they added nothing to Paul. Paul added to them. So you don't need Paul to teach Israel anything about what's going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when Jesus is on the scene. But Paul adds a bunch of information to the big guys that Christ revealed to him. You ever learn that in your denominational church? It's all right there. Well, how can that be? Paul adds a bunch. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the most important part of the Bible. It's the only part I've ever read. It's the part where Jesus tells me he's going to fix all my problems and give me a great, rich Christian American life. After Christ dealt with Saul in Acts 9, Paul emerged with information that was so new and different, it could not be found by doing what Jesus told everybody to do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Instructions are changing. We didn't notice. We didn't read our Bible carefully enough. We didn't read, really read. Information that was so new and different that it could not be found by searching the Scriptures. That is why Paul says that what he wrote included unsearchable riches of Christ, which had been kept hidden. And it gives Ephesians 3:8 and 1 Corinthians 2:7. That's what the booklet says. That's the statement in it. And they give chapter and verse. Do you believe it? You shouldn't. You should go read the chapter and the verse, right? Somebody makes a claim and puts a verse reference down there.
Okay.
No, that's wrong. You need to go read the verse. Authors are people too, you know. Lots of writers with denominational agendas make claims and make statements and write books and put verse references. We need to check out the verses. So let's do that. You're in Galatians. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the who? Well, they're way down here. Jesus called the Gentile woman a dog in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. Well, must have had a change then in God's operation. If he's preaching a mystery among the Gentiles, then I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Help me out here. That would be the opposite of search the Scriptures, wouldn't it? Unsearchable would be the opposite of search the Scriptures. Didn't notice that one either in all my years in church. Any of you? Oops!
Yeah.
It's a big oops. Now, you show somebody this verse, the unsearchable riches of Christ, they'll say, oh, Steve, they're there. That just means it's a big pile of riches. That just means that it's amazing and wonderful and you can't hardly wrap your mind around it. That's what it's talking about, Steve. It's not talking about some secret, some mystery. That's what you get, right? Guess what? I can read the next verse. Read the next verse! And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. The next verse says that person going, there, there, Stevie, is dead wrong. It's unsearchable because it was a complete mystery for thousands of years. It was not written. It was not revealed. Neener, neener, I just heard from the audience. But do you see? Just read the verses. She'll tell you. It's so frustrating when you try to oppose the Bible. The Bible keeps winning.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That just means... That just means the pile's huge. That's how you have to say huge now that we have our current president. You can't say huge. Say huge! No, it means they are unsearchable because they're a mystery. So how are we doing so far? We read the booklet, then we read the Bible verses. The Bible verses agreed with the booklet. Check. Okay. This mystery, the God questions folks, as we saw last week, they think this mystery, that information that was revealed to Paul, is just some little nitinoids here of doctrine around the edges of the church. It's not a big deal. It's, you know, we knew what car we had, now we know what trim level. Right? Do I get the heated steering wheel or not? That's what the God questions people seem to think about what this mystery is. Is it something bigger than that? Let's read 1 Corinthians 2:7. 2:7 and 8. That was the information that was given to us in the booklet, the reference rather. First Corinthians 2:7. Not only was it not revealed, not only is it unsearchable because it was a mystery and hadn't been written and nobody living, breathing, and dying during any of this time knew anything about it, not only that, it was something that could not have been revealed. Let's read the verses. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 first. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Put that verse in your mind for the next person that you think, when you try to show them God's different plan prophetically and mystery, and they say, well, does that mean I'm God's plan B? I've had that asked me many times. No. You're part of God's plan A.
Hallelujah.
He had plan A for prophecy and plan A for mystery, and he did it before the world began. But this mystery, this hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, look at the next verse, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, your object of faith would have never occurred. If they would, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Whoa.
Great theologian Bill and Ted say,
whoa.
Now we're starting to connect some dots and arrange some puzzles. Stop that, young man. Try to make me laugh back there. Not only was it a mystery, not only is it unsearchable because it was hidden, it couldn't have been known for God's plan to come together and have the very thing that you're trusting for your soul salvation happen. That's a little bit bigger deal than some nitinoids around the edges, isn't it? Paul knew stuff that Peter and those guys didn't. You don't need Paul to get at all to get to the cross, but Paul has stuff that God had, it was a secret in the mind and will of the Godhead. Not even angels knew it. The object of my faith would have never occurred if God hadn't kept this mystery a secret. And you're telling me again that I'm splitting hairs and I'm a hyper or whatever? This is a big deal. It's confusing at first when you come walking in the door from your denomination going, what's going on in here? But when you back away and look at it from 30,000 feet, it's a huge thing. Do you ever hear the term line upon line, precept upon precept? I was taught, isn't that what Jesus is teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Search the scriptures. It's all there. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Those are scriptures speak of me. Moses talked about me. Go back, look at it. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Isn't that what Peter said at Pentecost when he gave his message? It's all in the scriptures. Look back. Foretold known. Foretold known. Isn't that what Peter says in Acts 3:21? He's preaching stuff about Christ that everyone's known since the world began. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Isn't that what Stephen said when he gave his most wonderful sermon after which they killed him? Hopefully I'm not that good today. What? That's what Stephen did. He took them back all through the scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept.
Stephen,
sorry. Line upon line, precept upon precept, and that's exactly the opposite of what Paul says in Ephesians 3. My message, you can't line upon line, precept upon precept, because this message, no one knew. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. What just happened? Line upon line just ended. Yes, I know that it is the Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. That's what Romans 16:25 and 26 says. But now we're building something completely new that's not line upon line with the prophetic program. Line upon line, precept upon precept needs to stop because we're building a mystery body. Mystery truths now. We've got information and doctrine that's different than what came before. That's simple enough. I told you this would be a simple lesson. But just to get to that point, when you see that Jesus wasn't talking to you here, it opens your understanding up to something you've never been taught, never considered, a whole body. It opens you up to getting yourself lined up with God's will for us today. Something that we never consider when we were back in our days of telling God what to do all day. The unsearchable riches of Christ. We need to be schooled in what that is. We need to be able to transmit that information to Vladimir. And what we're going to do next time is we're going to take, I have this handy dandy chart here. I generally don't, I'm not one of those guys that likes to hang a chart behind me because I think it looks too busy most of the time. But what we're going to do, you can see here the progression and the building of God's prophetic program. And you can see here the completion of God's prophetic program. Everything he said, search the scriptures, this is all going to happen. This is what your Bible looks like if Paul never existed. If Christ never saved Saul, never gave him the revelation of the mystery, never gave the dispensation of the grace, this is what your Bible looks like. This is what your Bible looks like with what actually happened. And we're going to learn next time some of the unsearchable riches of Christ with the help of this handy-dandy chart. So that is what they call in the biz a tease. What you got today was a setup and a tease to come back next time. That's all I have for today.